Oh, happy Tuesday, family. Really great to have your company on what has become a very, very special day. Really good friend of the show, Scotty Thompson. If you missed it there, the news has announced. He has announced his retirement coming at year's end. What a superstar. And he will join us in a matter of minutes to discuss that decision and what the future holds for Scotty Thompson. As I welcome from my... how easy is this? It's like I'm at the Dodgems at the show. I go from one superstar to another. The one and only Andrew Juice Newton-Jarman. G'day, Juice. Welcome.
G'day, Louis. G'day, Adelaide. Good to be here on a Tuesday. What a wonderful career, Scotty Thompson. He's the fifth Adelaide Crows player to play 300 games, so he joins some illustrious people on that honour board, Lulu, and we'll chat to him very shortly.
Like yeah, can't wait to talk. Of course, we gave him the gift pact for going 300, who could forget the waxing straps, the teeth whitener, the stuff, fake tan that really goes to presenting yourself well.
What have we got?
I think we need to get our head together about giving him a retirement send-off pack, don't you think?
I like it.
Mm. Twitter family, any ideas you've got on what we should put in the farewell gift
pack? Yeah.
Gift pack
what
survival.
Have you got?
It's like a survival kit, basically, for out there in the real world. Me, personally, I would say go off to the club and say headshots.
Yeah, okay.
Get them. So whenever you get caught and accosted in the street, for 12 months, you'll be signing autographs.
Yeah, that's what I like. It's about a 12-month
period. And then if you've got a mate who can do some work, maybe at a car detailing shop, I'd probably put your picture on the outside of your car
just so
nobody forgets you.
What about number plates?
Plates.
You know, guns out.
Sun's out.
Sun's out. Guns out.
Son of a gun. I mean, any.
Son of a, yeah.
Honk if you're horny.
What? He's always
actually, it's a bumper
he's
sticker.
Always up and about, Tomo.
He's coming up very, very beautiful. Soon. Speaking of champions on the show, Paul Roos, 5'10", lock him in. We dissect the weekend's big round of football.
Have we got a new segment?
We have.
Is this going to be locked in every Tuesday at about 4:30?
It certainly is. It's something I've it's what I say to Jars some days, but some days he says it to me in the off-air show. Mm. And we probably always say it to Murph when he stuffs up.
Mm.
UFI, you something idiot.
Yeah.
It's coming up at 4:30. We're just going to, it fits. It feels good. It feels right.
You're excited about this.
I am. I'm up and about that. We've got a psychologist on today for you.
For me? Or Sean?
No, to talk about Bernie Tommy. Yeah. Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg's going to give us his insight on what he saw as a trained professional with Bernie Tomic on Sunday night's interview. And then I have one of the more disturbing, outrageous cases of anti-man behaviour, so much so that I've called for the reintroduction of Jars's Man School at 5:30.
Oh, no. Don't tell me.
I was involved in an event today that, if it wasn't for me, two young men would have lost their manhood.
No.
Would have been forced to go home and just retreat to their bedrooms for at least a year.
Yeah, just hold your powder on it.
It was just luck would have it. You know what it was? It was almost Sean Craig Murphy-esque.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
No.
That's how bad. That's how disturbing.
That is. That's a very,
forget
very
forget Footgate.
Concerning.
Forget how bad his foot is and how long that's taken to come
situation,
up.
Lou.
So bad. The stench that filled my nostrils when I had to fix anti-man behaviour today.
What's happening to the boys today? The men!
5:30 coming up. Hey, can I play you just a snippet, a montage of the great Scotty Thompson as we head to the song?
Thompson now on his left again. No, he goes back to his right. He's done it again. He's kicked another one, Scotty Thompson.
A job well done on celebrating the life of a fantastic man, our late coach, and a bloke that spent many years with your club. And to all the supporters in here today, a fantastic job as well with the tributes. It's been overwhelming for everyone. Thank you very much.
Walker over the top, Dodds with numbers. Can't find a handle on it cleanly though. Crows keep it alive. Eddie Betts gets involved again. Sloan shoves it. Thompson, goal! Persistence pays off.
Oh, how exciting. Scotty Thompson coming up next. I reckon as a collective right now, everybody, get the coppers out and give them a squeeze. Come on, give them a squeeze.
Mom no matter
where you are,
me.
Give them a squeeze.
Nah, they'll burst through me shirt.
Give them a squeeze. Scotty Thompson coming up next on the Rush Hour.
Every Tuesday afternoon in the Rush Hour, you get the super coach, Paul Roos. Roosie, 10 past five this afternoon with Charles and Louis on Triple M.
All good things must come to an end, Juice. And unfortunately for Scotty Thompson, this year will finish up his illustrious AFL career. And boy, what a career it's been. Two BNFs in 2011, 2012. One time All-Australian, 30 in the Brownlow in 2012. Phil Walsh medalist, 308 games and an out-and-out club champion. The great man joins us now. Tomo, welcome to the Rush Hour. And congrats on what's just been an outstanding career, mate. Well done.
Cheers, fellas. How
well
are you
played,
both?
Champ. Well played.
We're good.
All right.
Talk us through it, mate. It's... It gets us all in the end, and we've got to make that decision. How did you make yours?
Yeah, I fronted up with the boys at midday today, but I've had a fair bit of time to put some thought into it. I pretty much went into this season knowing it was going to be the last. So got the emotional side out of the way probably a few days ago. So yep. I held myself together in front of the playing group today, which was nice.
Good lad. Well done. Well done.
And when might save a few tears for you boys.
No tears here. What?
Jars will hang up on you, Tom.
Tomo, when did you sit down with Pikey to discuss your decision to retire end of the year? And knowing that the door is still open to play some finals football.
Yeah, that's right. And I've been in constant conversation with Pikey all year. And then it was a number of weeks ago I sat down and mentioned to him that the time felt right to go through with this process. And then from there, just sort it out when worked best for myself and the club to get it out of the way without interfering with bigger things that the club have got coming up.
Tomo, footy's changed a hell of a lot since you first started, and I know it's going to make you feel old, but it just has gone from a game that you probably didn't recognise from when you first played.
Yeah, it's changed a whole heap over a 17-year period. It's a lot's changed, and the game, the way it's played today, as you just touched on, is a lot different to when I first started, and there's no hiding for any player today. They analyse the absolute guts out of everything that you do, and there's certainly no hiding for anyone.
Mate, who had the biggest influence on your career in terms of family and all your coaches you were under?
Yeah, it's a good question. There've been a number of people, and I've had six coaches over my journey. Neil Craig was the longest-serving coach that I had over that time. And they've all played a certain role in developing me as a player and a person. And, they've seen something in me to pick me enough times for starters. But, they taught me a lot about hard work and discipline and how to conduct myself. So I thank all my coaches for the input they've had there.
Yeah.
But my parents and family, my brother and sister, and especially my two kids now over the, Ava's 10 and Harry's 6 now. And the impact and influence that my entire family, my kids have had on me. I'm really lucky over the years as well to have some mates I went right through school with that are still here to this day supporting me and, friends well beyond footy, and their support has been unbelievable. So to be able to share that with, my family and friends and as well as teammates over the years from back in the Melbourne day and now at the Crows, I had a couple of mates down there today, one from school and a previous player that, a lifelong friend now out of footy and a few others that, would have loved to have been there but couldn't. But to share it with them is very special for me. And, I see the joy that they've gotten out of just watching footy and watching me as a mate go about my career.
Tomo, you're a pretty selfless man and a very humble man. Club 300, not many belong up there. It means you have had to have been not only resilient but very bloody good, mate. So when did you work it out? When did the penny drop that, actually, I think I can do something good here? And was there a game where you finally twigged that I belong and I belong at a pretty high level?
It's, again, a good question. My first couple of years at Melbourne, I had a few injury interruptions along the way. And it was my fourth year there after I got some injuries out of the way that I cemented my spot in the side. And I played the first 12 games of that season. And I started to feel really comfortable at the level. And then I happened to break my foot halfway through that season and missed the rest of that year. And it was at the end of 04 when I asked for the trade back to South Australia. And once I got here and got into a pre-season in 05 and the pre-season games rolled around, I actually felt really comfortable at the level. And I had a pretty clear understanding from that point on what it took for me to get myself up and prepared to be able to play and play to the best of my ability at AFL level. So it was probably early in 05, I really felt like I belonged, and the career certainly developed from there.
Tomo, we spoke about the coaches that had a big influence. Yeah, what the impact of Phil Walsh? We heard a little bit of audio of you when you won the Phil Walsh medal. What kind of impact did that have on you and our footy club?
Yeah, in his short time at the club, he had a huge impact, not only on me, but the entire club and playing group. And obviously, I was humbled and honoured to win that medal on that particular day. And I think I'll mention for memory the impact he's had over two clubs, the amount of time he spent at Port Adelaide and what he meant to a lot of the boys there just from speaking to people and to see the impact he had on some of our young guys. He was a real father figure to a lot of them. And again, in a 9-month period, taught them so much about hard work and how to go about their business and get the best out of themselves. So even to this day, you know, the boys still think about him and what he brought to the club at that point in time.
Well, Tom, I stick around. I've got to get to a quick song. We're not done with yet. We need to talk about life after footy. If there's two blokes that are prepared for it, it's Juice and I think we've got some tips of what not to do, mate. And we've got to get a care package together because we gave you that beautiful package for game 300 and we'd hate to leave you empty-handed upon your retirement.
No, and I bloody appreciated that. And I'm very interested to see what comes in the next patch.
Oh, mate, you'll be surprised. We've got some ideas coming. Scotty Thompson is sticking around on the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis.
Triple M. Rush Hour, Jars and Louis on Triple M.
Scotty Thompson is still with us. If you missed the news, Scotty has announced that this season will be his last and he's pulling up stumps at the end of the year. Tomo, what are you looking forward to the most when you hand in the professional footballer's badge?
Well, one thing I said today is I'm certainly looking forward to not being told what to do, when to do and how to do it every single day of my life. So I think I've got that under control at this point in time.
Good.
But certainly kicking back, having a couple of quiet sherbets whenever I feel like it, it'll be nice to be able to do as well. The amount of sacrifice I've put into not being able to do that when mates always ask me if I want to have a beer with them and, you know, I've knocked them back far too many times over the years, so it'll be nice to kick back and enjoy a few from time to time whenever I feel like it.
Can you promise me one thing that when you do look in the mirror, and it will happen somewhere in the near future, it might be 1, 2, 6, 15 years, that there won't be a six-pack looking back at you. Can you ring Jars on that particular day and say you've joined the club?
I'd be more than happy to. I'll be more than happy to. And
Do you think you'll let yourself go, Tomo? Because everyone has great ideas. I'll stay in great Nick. You've been in super Nick your entire life. You have. I think there's a lot of people love to see you blow up.
Well, mate, I'd like to say no, but who knows what the future holds in that area.
Hey, Tomo, have you had discussions with the club and the coach about having a farewell game?
No, that certainly hasn't been brought up at this point in time. And, you know, as a club, we've got bigger things to worry about as far as finals footy, and that's approaching reasonably quickly. But, you know, I said today around my game, I'm certainly going to play out the season at SNFL level, which, you know, I've really enjoyed for a number of reasons this year and being able to watch young guys develop and have some input into their game and help them with certain aspects of their own footy. But I'm certainly, you know, you talk about farewell games, but I'm certainly putting my hand up for selection to be picked on form leading into finals on my own merits. That's right. Yeah. So who knows what that holds going forward, but I'm certainly going to be putting my hand up each week to be selected.
You spoke of the kids before. In particular, how did Harry take the news that Dad's not going to play AFL footy anymore?
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Because at times throughout the season, he's told me, Dad, you need to play again next year because you haven't played AFL this year.
Bang.
Beautiful.
He's brutal honesty. Yep. He's told me that he enjoys the footy a whole lot more when I'm playing AFL, so there was another kick in the gut. But in recent weeks when I've spoken to him about it, he, like me now, seems pretty comfortable with the position that I sit in. He has had fun coming to SNFL games this year and he has the ability to run out onto the ground at quarter time and three-quarter time and yell out to me and give me the thumbs up at the huddle and then come over and run around on the ground at the end of the game. So he certainly enjoyed that, but it's been a different year for the kids and one that we've all enjoyed, though, in saying that.
Tomo, the toughest player you've played against, and the second question, who's been the best Crow player you've played with?
Yeah, two good questions. I guess over the years, there's been a lot of champions of the game that I've played against, not direct opponents, but as far as direct opponents go over the years, I think two of the toughest would have to have been Cameron Ling and Ryan Crowley, just for the roles that they've played. They were so disciplined in the roles that they played. Ling especially, with a big body that he was and the fact that he played in such a successful team for a period of time, he was able to do the job on a player and then offensively get involved in the game as well, whereas his teammates were able to help cover for him. So I found that on a number of occasions quite difficult to deal with. Yeah. So they're two that spring to mind straight away.
Best one you played with? Best teammate?
Best Crow. Mm. Yeah, I think I went on record last year. There's been a lot. And you hear the Rusciutto's, McLeod's, Goodwin's, Hart's and all these who have all been unbelievable servants and champions of the Adelaide Footy Club. And even some of the guys I played in Melbourne, you know, Woden, Meat, Uze, Cameron Bruce and those types. But, you know, one that sticks in my mind, and I'm probably, I don't know if I'm biased in saying this, but he's a good mate of mine, and Tyson Edwards was one of the smoothest, most naturally talented footballers I've ever played with. The way he carried himself around the footy field and the way he moved when he had the ball in hand was something I really admired. So I loved watching him. I loved playing with him. And I just loved everything he was able to do when he was out on the footy field.
Oh, very nice. Zuma would be loving that right now. Tom, are you going to coach? Is that where the interest lies now once you give up playing? Is that where we're heading that direction?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like I said, spending the year at SNFL level and having some input into the young guys and working closely with those guys on their games and watching them practice some stuff during the weekend and training and see it roll into game day and for it to happen out in the middle of a match is I've found really rewarding for myself as well as them. So that certainly sparked my passion for coaching and developing younger guys. I've got a real kick out of that. So going forward, that's certainly what I see myself doing.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent one. Tomo, we've run out of time. We'll have to talk about the gift pack and the farewell pack and everything else. But I just need you to know this, that I've spoken to Jay Weatherall and I've been lobbying hard for you, obviously, given the physique you've been able to present over the years and and the old Suns Out, Guns Out T-shirts. And I am looking at a Thompson T-shirt company. Don't worry about that.
very good.
The old Shirts v. Skins, I've got it on good authority that if I can get enough signatures, we can change that to Shirts v. Scotty Thompson's. All right, to get it in the vernacular, all right? So I'm trying to get that done before you finish.
All right, mate.
Good work, fellas. Yeah. Good work.
On a serious note, mate, congrats. Still a bit of work to be done, and fingers crossed we do see you again, like your little boy Harry says, back playing a bit of AFL. But be very proud, mate. Not many get to do what you've done, and you've done it so well, so congrats.
I appreciate that, fellas. Thanks for the chat.
And I think we've got a gold watering can coming too because of your love of turf, mate. Thanks, Tom, mate. Enjoy,
you,
mate. There he is, Scotty Thompson. Official retirement announced today, coming at the end of the year. What a bloke, Joe.
Does he deserve a farewell game?
If possible, but I don't think you get him when you're in the run for finals. Do you know what I mean? If you're out of finals, absolutely.
But if you're in finals, you don't deserve one.
No, it's not that you don't take deserve out of it. I think you just can't afford to be messing with a system that is trying to get up and going and ultimate goal is, and Scotty would say this, you want the club to win a flag rather than give him a game. Mm-hmm. You'd hate to play in a game.
But it'd be good to give him a farewell game. Swans Friday night, Adelaide Oval, Lou.
Could be the one. But that's the one I'm tipping. At the very worst, you get your lap of honour. And he will certainly get one of those. And that, at least, you're there to experience it. And you can say your thank you to your fans.
I agree.
Yeah, but I'd like to give him one. I tell you, absolutely. If anyone deserves one out there, he does. But, as I said, it's a business about winning.
Yeah, I know.
And on this show, there's no farewell shows on here.
Nothing here, mate.
I mean, if you're done, you're cooked. Yeah. You could be here on a Wednesday. You're gone on a Thursday.
We're going to get Paul Roo's thoughts on a farewell game for Scott Thompson around about 10 past five.
Triple M's 40K kick for victory.
Kick is good.
Thanks to victory. For verandas, carports, patios, louvers and fencing, victory is everything.
Yeah, if you're a member of the Triple M Club, listen carefully. This could be your name being called out.
John Reeves, Tara Calabro, Jeff Lewis.
Okay, John, Tara and Jeff, one step away from having a crack at up to $40,000. Talking about the 40K kick for victory. John, Tara and Jeff, give us a call, 133-53. First one through.
Yeah. Jeff, call now, mate.
Tara.
You get a chance of winning up to 40,000. Like I said, up to 40,000 because you get to choose. If you want to do 20 metres out, you can do it for 20,000. Thanks to Victory for verandas, carports, patios, louvers and fencing. Victory is everything.
And of course, if you miss it, nada.
Nah.
That's
what,
why
you go 40?
Yeah.
What about you, Shawnee, with your little fragile feet?
Oh, I have 5 metres, 5,000.
Oh.
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine me missing?
You know what it happens. 55,000 pack showdown crowd.
And he's going 5 metres out.
And he walks up to five.
With his little pink boots on.
They'd turn. they'd turn on him.
They would. You've got to give it a... Go 25 metres, mate.
They'd respect me. No, I can't kick...
Shawnee.
I'm injured, all right?
Excuse me. Did he say kick?
He did.
What you're saying?
If you can't kick, you can't play. If you can't panel...
You know what my saying is? If you can't kick, you can't panel, you can't be on the rush hour.
That's not a saying. You just made that up.
I did too. It's a bloody good one. You effing idiot. It's a new segment. It's coming up next. I'm not talking to Murphs. It ain't put me up on any bullying charges, all right? You something idiot next on the Rush Hour.
Triple M. Paul Ruse has been making headlines over the last few days. We're going to get him on the Rush Hour. Charles and Louis, Triple M, 10 past five.
You idiot!
You idiot!
Hey, you idiot!
You idiot!
Brand new segment on the Rush Hour. Are you something idiot? It's an expression gets thrown around a lot in here. We just throw it at, you know, basically anybody not getting the job done.
Mm.
You're an idiot.
Why if I?
Yeah, they all know.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, or if we want to shorten up for for this generation, UFI. That's what we're playing right now. UFI. You can do it. I don't need to say it right now because I won't be allowed on air. Right, let's kick it off. So what it is, it's basically we're going to give you some information or events across the week and in our thoughts, in our minds, in the Rush Hour's views, and they're our own and of no
that's
one else's.
It. No, no,
you're
not.
An idiot, all right?
Okay.
Let's
here we go.
Let's let an old friend of the show, Robert Walls, a former coach, kick it off when he has a nice little slap at Patrick Dangerfield.
He did that press conference where he came in with the moon boot and the crutches and the bandage around the head. That was a bit too much about me, I thought. We've got a game which was first against second. It was the biggest game of the year, and I think he let himself down because it was more about himself, and I know it was in jest. And then I heard that he went to Adelaide a day before the team and he was involved in a luncheon there. Well, again, it's an individual thing. I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that there were too many smiles on his face through the course of the game. He was playing against old teammates. One of his old teammates, Rory Sloane, he didn't smile until the game was over. That's how determined he was.
What I think Wolsey was trying to say was this.
You idiot!
Yeah, I like it. All right, yeah. MRP for giving Dane Zorko a week for a gut punch.
Oh, no.
The same punch, the same striking technique as Trent Cotchin a couple of weeks back. You guys are...
You idiot!
Yeah, thank you, Arnold.
Can I throw one in?
Yeah.
Kevin Sheedy, the great man. The godfather of AFL football in the last bloody, 35, 40 years.
Absolutely.
He's come out. Mm-hmm. Now, he comes out with some pearlers about our great game, how he wants to develop it around the country.
Well, there was Anzac Day, there's Dreamtime at the G, there's
a great
country
thinker. Well, this 2018 opening round played overseas for premiership points was his latest one.
All games.
Bombshell. All games for next year.
Followed by a bye and then followed by round two.
Yeah, that's Sheeds' idea during the week. You know what? This is you, Sheeds.
You're an idiot.
Oh, I tell you. What about the guy that took the flare into Adelaide Oval and just got it going on the hill?
You idiot.
What about Murphy being slow with the buttons?
Yeah.
You idiot.
Toby Green for punching Alex Rance.
You're an idiot.
What about the Collingwood Football Club banging on about the number one sporting club in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
Only 22,000 turned up. This is you. This is
you.
All
idiot.
Of you. All of you.
Yeah. What about David King, Fox Footy's expert, suggesting Mark Lacrosse should never play again?
You idiot.
No. That's actually really good. I like that idea. I think that's very, very, very clever. What about Brad Scott, who said he couldn't do a pre-game interview because of laryngitis, yet gave one of the greatest cooks ever to Magic Door down the phone, which we all lip-read, and it was talking about
you're an
ducks.
Idiot.
Yes, exactly. All right. Gary Ablett for picking and choosing when he plays with soft tissue injuries.
You idiot.
And what about the AFL's latest themed round, which apparently didn't get out of AFL House, and that was Pants Off Friday.
You idiot.
What, you know, KG coming out saying Porter a top four side.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, what about Jars now trying to ad-lib through the segment?
Idiot!
Have you got anything else?
Nah, that'll do for the first
you're
one.
Idiot.
There it is. We're done.
Are we going to open that with the family or not?
Oh, you're an idiot.
Chatty Wingard, 2-4 with that ankle. And that is a good result because that looked like it could have been catastrophic
for the
on
year.
The day. Looked everything, a knee, then ankle, really bad. So 2-4 is a great result. Back in time. To help for the big push for the finals. Yeah. So that is great news. Mark Blitzarms, who hurt that ankle the other night, is going to avoid the surgeon's knife, but will miss about a month.
He's injury prone, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
he can't get any consistency with his footy.
Well, he's been F two or three.
This is
his
third year.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, it'd be his fourth year by now, at least. Yeah, he had a really lean year last year, and this year, because of the third man up rule, hasn't been able to find his way.
Yeah.
Paul Roos coming up after five. Michael Carr-Gregg, psychologist, who's going to tell us all about Bernie Tomic and what he saw when he watched Bernie's chat on Sunday night. Fascinating
Look
stuff.
Look forward to this chat.
Scotty Thompson was our special guest at the top of the show. Yeah. If you missed that chat, that's coming up after 5:30, the best of Tomo. On Twitter, we want to get a gift pack out for Tomo. We love him dearly.
It's like a farewell pack.
We gave him one last time for going 300, which was a bit of teeth whitening, waxing strips, fake tan, just the all essentials that Tomo really needs to get himself up and going for a game
Takes pride in his grooming.
Family have come hard and fast. Dave McGill says maybe a bottle of Grange dated from his birth year. Probably out of our area of financial expertise, Dave.
I would have thought.
The old lock dog, a bottle opener and a pair of Ugg boots. Put your feet up and have a few, champ.
That's a good one.
Daniel Lamb says some dumbbells.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Maybe get some gold ones for
it. You can curl it. Sanely Insane, this is really nice. Entry ticket into the burnout competition at the Summer Nats. Everybody should remember the Black Monaro, the burnouts.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, he had an edge to him back in the day. Old Tomo. And
boots.
Gym membership, the boys are suggesting just lock him in.
Yeah.
Just lock him in and keep him in there.
Keep that rig in good condition.
Yeah, I mean, we should bring him out. You know what he should become like? You know, when they work out whether winter will continue on for six more weeks, Punxsutawney Phil, you know, the little whatever it is over in the States, the tradition, whether the winter will still continue.
Mm.
Tomo should be ours. The moment Tomo appears without the shirt on means summer is here.
Yeah. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
It's the rush hour in Triple M.
Righto, Jars. We spoke about it yesterday. Bernie Tomic was on Channel 7's Sunday night program, one-on-one, no questions off limits with Mel Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
You and I discussed it yesterday. He's a confused young man. He's trying to find his spot in life, or somebody who knows a lot more about this topic than us. He's actually trained in it. He's a professional, and he's one of Australia's highest-profile psychologists, and I speak of the one and only Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg. MCG, welcome to the Rush Hour. What did you make of Bernie Tomic's tell-all on Sunday night?
G'day, guys. Look, I thought it showed a couple of things. One was that he really isn't very mature at all, and remember that the human brain has 100 billion brain cells, 1,000 trillion connections, and they're not all wired up yet. And in blokes, they're not often wired up till they're about 27. So he's got another good 3 years to go. I thought there were a couple of interesting things that emerged from this, apart from his emotional immaturity. I think the key was that he obviously doesn't know who he is. He hasn't basically figured that out. And that, I think, is pretty sad.
He was almost in tears when Mel showed him the innocent, wide-eyed 14-year-old wanting to have a heart as big as Leighton Hewitt and to win Grand Slams. And the other one that really intrigued me was he said he felt trapped by tennis.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether or not his entourage should have actually let him play at Wimbledon. I don't know about you guys, but it struck me that looking at him, he wasn't in a psychological state to play. If you want to use a physical analogy, he'd sort of pulled a psychological hammy, and I don't reckon that they did him any favours in letting him go out there. I think it might have been a better strategy for him just to basically go, Barley Charlie, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Doc, when I was watching Bernard on Sunday night, it seemed like he was crying out for some help. Do you think he's got depression of some sort?
It's very difficult to tell. One of the components of depression is boredom. And he actually used that phrase. Mm. And when I train baby psychologists, one of the things I tell them to look for is that phrase. So certainly I would say there's some depressive symptoms there. Whether he's got the full-blown thing, I don't know. Mm. One thing I do know, and that is that this is a young man who really needs time out. I think that it would be a good idea for him to take a year off.
Do we need to be careful here with Bernie in a sense that if we keep going on this vitriolic nature towards him and everybody's pretty happy to whack him and Kyrgios to a degree as well, that we're going to be doing more harm than good?
Well, the possibility is that we could actually push him over the edge. I mean, that's the ultimate fear that I have. I think the AFL has led the way in trying to get people to understand the whole mental health field, and they are to be congratulated on that. I'm not sure tennis is there yet.
Mm.
I would like to see a lot more compassion, and particularly what I call the developmental perspective. We constantly go Kyrgios and Tomic, but they're still kids. Mm. And you'd know that as a footballer. I mean, you see the little kids come into the club and they take time to mature. I think that he's still got a lot of maturing to go. So it'd be good if we could just back off for a while.
Yeah, because I reckon, Doc, if either of those two gentlemen, Kyrgios or Tomic, come out now and said they had mental health issues, people would deride them and not be in their corner and not be compassionate and not be sympathetic.
I agree with you, and I don't think Tomek helps himself
by
making these stupid little taunts that, you know, I've got all these cars and stuff.
Yep.
I mean, that is the illustration of the immaturity.
Yeah.
Is on what planet would an adult brain come out with that stuff? It's just clear that he still hasn't grown up. Needs some time to mature.
I reckon that's a great assessment.
Good
He's
on you, Doc.
Grow up. Thank you so much, Doc. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure, guys.
There he is, Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg on the Rush Hour, talking all things Bernie Tomek. Tuesday's turned out to be a day of celebration. Scotty Thompson has announced that he will end his illustrious career.
Well played,
308 so far game career at the Adelaide Crows at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You would have heard him in the news there. If you missed our chat with Scotty at the top of the show, you can catch that just after 5:30. Paul Roo's not far away, so too the quiz. But I've got something today, Jars, for you. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing back Jars's man school.
Yep, yep.
I witnessed some anti-man behaviour today that is going to set our school back. In fact, we could lose government funding. Here
no
is something.
Way.
If you missed this segment, if you don't remember it, this is something that we used to roll out a lot last year. Here are some examples of the type.
Dear.
God, I'm so I'm getting so worked up. The type of anti-man behaviour that now exists in society. Using beard oil. Jeez.
Oh, no.
You reckon Vikings or lumberjacks used beard oil? Matching shoes with an outfit.
Yeah.
Not being capable of backing the trailer and preferring to go for a coffee instead of a beer. So blowing kisses to the crowd is okay.
If your dad cannot back the trailer, then you have got two mums.
Oh, yes, the man bun. How embarrassing using the word man with a bun.
Eight hands and eight to stand in the mirror worrying about what the hair looks like.
Ah, there it is, the first edition of Jars' Man School for 2017, coming up just after 5:30. Don't miss it, but right now, you and I, let's try. Jeez, we were close yesterday, weren't we?
Yeah, $90.
Let's try and give away some cash.
The Rush Hour's quiz with No Name.
Yeah!
Thanks to Automasters.
Your drive home isn't always smooth, but make sure your car runs smoothly. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Oh, yes, and a big thank you to Automasters. There's a lifeline on offer here. Is that new funky music?
No, it's just a bit louder.
Just a bit louder.
Yeah. No, never got changed. To that bit there. Nice work. Automasters lifeline is blurred out Automasters.
You got
That's a question.
It's $10.
That's a tenner. Mm. It might only be a tenner in theory, but when you got nine down and you're feeling good and you go Automasters, it could get you $1,000.
But use it as a strategy.
Yeah.
Don't just blurt it out there. And if you get the first three incorrect, we'll shut you down.
Well, you won't hear from us again.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Too many people get caught in the spotlight and then feel, I don't know the answer. They blurt it out early on and they're therefore nowhere to go and just got to go with random guesses later on.
Use the pass.
It's the pass. It's there for a reason.
Hey, Daniel from Murray Bridge is going to play today, Lulu. Mm. Welcome, Daniel. How are you, mate?
All right, lads. How are you?
Mate, we are very good.
Good.
10 questions, 60 seconds.
Okay.
It is, I suppose, the best wage rate you'll get on and we'll get on for a long time. Mm. All of us involved.
Mm-hmm.
60 seconds, $1,000. Mm. Automasters Lifeline, Daniel, are you good with that?
Yeah, yeah, yep. Okay.
Oh, he says quiet now, doesn't he?
Yeah, very reserved.
What's your
Actually just driving a paddle steamer at the moment, but we'll be right.
This could be our first big winner. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's beautiful down there at the bridge.
Naturally, you've got a hands-free setup.
Yeah.
I look forward to this. Here's Jazz. 10 questions,
Captain
60 seconds. Automasters Lifeline. Let's go.
Which Crows player had his appendix removed on the weekend, Daniel?
It'll be Eddie Betts.
Name the Collingwood CEO that resigned yesterday.
Gary Pert.
What colour jersey did Michael Matthews win in the Tour de France?
It'd be the green sprinter's jersey.
Which player leads the AFL for one percenters, Alex Rance or Daniel Talia?
Oh, pass.
Who are Port Adelaide playing this weekend?
St Kilda.
How many Cox plates has Winx won?
I should know this. I'll go with two.
What Victorian country town, starting with S, is Dale Lewis from? Daniel?
Automasters.
How many weeks was Toby Green suspended for?
Two.
What sport is Sam Willoughby famous for?
BMX.
Can Carlton mathematically still win this year's Wooden Spoon? Quick.
Yes.
Which player leads the AFL for one percenters, Alex Rance or Daniel Talia?
I'll go Rance.
All right, here we go. Oh, that's not a bad effort.
It felt good. Come out of the hand, all right. What are you doing right now, Daniel? Driving one, what?
Driving the Captain Crab paddle boat. 7, 8, 9
Yeah. This happened yesterday, remember?
Yeah, yeah, it did too. I wonder whether he knows where I came from.
Anti-climax.
You're guilty! You're guilty!
Oh, outstanding work, Daniel.
Captain Steaming from Barry Bridge.
Oh, that is awesome. $1,000 coming your way, Daniel. Well played, young man.
Beautiful.
All good. Thanks, lads.
Listen to the crowd going off. Buddy,
take the horn. Get the horn.
Get the horn. You got a horn on the boat?
Yeah, I'll give you one. Ready?
Yep. Go.
Oh, yeah. Next level stuff. Next level. Daniel, you've won $1,000. The only one you didn't know was what Victorian country town, starting with S, am I from? The good old Swan Hill, which is the home of a couple of paddle steamers
there
as well.
There it is.
The old pile up and co.
That worked out all right then, didn't it?
That was your Automasters lifeline. Well done, mate. Outstanding. $1,000 coming your way. Thanks to Automasters. Thank you for playing.
No worries, thanks, lads.
All right, guess what? It's not back tomorrow because we're out of cash.
Well done, Sean.
Oh, that is outstanding. Speaking of outstanding, Supercoach Paul Roos is going to join us next to talk about everything across the AFL landscape that happened on the weekend. I can't get over that. That is outstanding, Jar. Somebody's going to lose their gig.
Jars and Louis, the Rush Hour, 104.7 Triple M.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Roos' left foot kick is a goal.
Please welcome Paul Roos.
The Supercoach joins us. All right, let's start with Adelaide Crows. Fantastic win here the other night, Roosie. And I think something we saw is something we've been crying out for a long time. I've nicknamed them the Lovely Boys, but they weren't so lovely the other night. They had a real hard edge.
Yeah, I think we've all been waiting for a team to jump out because I think, as we know, it's a very, very even season. Obviously, Sydney are creeping up the ladder as we thought they probably would. Early in the season. But I'm like you guys, I love what I saw with the Crows. You know, I think I've been pretty positive, as we all are, throughout the year, but there's been about a little bit of dips like everyone else has. But yeah, we saw a real edge on the weekend. We saw some real competitiveness across the board, ruthlessness. I thought their tackling was outstanding, and you know, they probably should have won by a few more. I thought they were a bit stiff with some of the umpiring decisions, and you know, it's really impacted the contest, and I thought they should have won by more. But yeah, super impressive, the Crows they were.
Rizzi, what about Geelong? Chrissy Scott had Scotty Selwood sitting on the bench then when they played last time down there at Cadinia Park. He absolutely shut down Rory Sloane, who was BOG. He didn't give any respect towards the Adelaide Crows on Friday night, Chrissy Scott.
Yeah, it was funny. Before the game, we spoke about Scott Selwood going to Sloane. So when you looked at the teams and Selwood had come back in, it was a no-brainer. From a commentary point of view, you just automatically thought, you know, look, Rory struggled a bit. He had Bernie the week before. It was a great effort for him to play, put some pressure on him, put Scott Selwood on him, particularly with Danger a bit crook, which allowed you to leave Danger forward. And then I think we were all surprised when he started on the bench and he didn't go near him. You know, and then they had Blixabs go with him and, you know, once Rory got going. So, yeah, look, it was a big surprise. There's no question about that.
Roos, you talk me through what goes through the box when the opposition takes away the way you like to play. Now, Geelong have had great success playing the plus one, bit of a wicket keeper, one out the back, especially against Adelaide, so Eddie and co can't run openly and freely to goal. Donny Pike rounded that up, and we saw that in the last quarter and a bit last game at Cadinia Park. So it was always going to happen. Didn't seem to try and play any games to get it back the other way, Scotty, to try and get himself that plus one, because that's when they play their best footy, and they looked sort of just bereft of ways to get out of the back half, especially from kick-ins.
Yeah, look at this. I'm the art of coaching a really, really good team is you've got to have your plan A. And I think most of the time, 80% of the time, plan A, and often clubs plan for it, but the better teams, it's very hard to stop. The second part of it is, though, if they do stop it, you know, again, you look at premiership teams, they generally find a different way to win. You know, they generally say, well, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to change it. And that's probably a bit at the top at the moment. Most of the teams at the top probably don't have a plan B. And I think that's the thing for all of us. We're all watching, whether it be the Crows, whether it be the Giants. And I guess that's why we're saying at the moment, there's still the season's very open because you can see when teams have their A game shut down, which can be difficult to do. And I thought Crows came back with a plan B the other day. You know, it wasn't just about their outsiders getting it. You know, I thought they contested the ball, their tackling was great. You know, forward line didn't function super well, but they manufactured goals. Their midfield kick goal, Richie Douglas forward. So we started to see a bit of a plan B from them. But I take your point on the Cats. I tend to agree. Yeah, they're a team that I still think is looking for their plan B and haven't found it yet.
Ruse, you got to get to a song. Need to talk about Port Adelaide. Was that just another one of those games that everybody's having this year where you just don't turn up and as a result you pay the ultimate price? And also just a few other bits and pieces are floating around. Farewell games. Scott Thompson announced today over here that the 300 game is going to finish up at the end of the year. I don't know whether if you were in charge or when you were in charge, mate, did you give out farewell games? All right. It's the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis, and the super coach himself, Paul Ruse, on 104.7 Triple M.
Paul, Port Adelaide weren't good enough in that first half. Their lack of effort, their skill level was poor against the Melbourne Footy Club, who looked like the real deal. Where do you see Port Adelaide? Has Kenny Hinkley and the boys been found out?
Geez, a great question. I mean, I'm really trying to like Port. I really am. I really love the way they've changed their game style. I've loved the way that they've played the ball in their front half. I've loved the way they're trying to create turnovers rather than rely on the opposition just giving the ball back. But I was really disappointed with them on the weekend. So I'm sort of 50-50 at the moment. I mean, it's hard to argue with their 9-1, I think, against non-top eight teams and 1-6 or whatever, seven or whatever it is. I'm trying to like them because I think they've changed their game. So I think they want to play finals football. But you had two teams coming to the MCG on the weekend and you had one that played finals football and one that didn't. So, look, I'm hoping for Kenny and Port. They've got unbelievable talent. You know, I just don't want to see them waste that talent because they've got enough talent to win a premiership. Their game style at the moment. So I'm 50-50 and I'm really sitting back watching them over the next 5 weeks thinking, can they get to that pointy end of the season? So I got a little bit of doubt after the weekend, but I'm still trying to keep positive on them boys.
What about the Giants, Ruse? Games lost through injury released today. So far ahead of everyone with Hawthorn. They've had such a bad run with injury, yet they're very close to self-destruct mode right now. Toby Green didn't help himself on the weekend, but a win, two draws and a loss or so now in the last four or five and going backwards real fast.
Yeah, look, once again, I saw them live against Sydney 2 weeks ago and I was really keen to see them. They just look tired. They look like, they're doing it purely and simply on talent. Mm. I think I said that during the coverage, and I was really just referring to that one game because early in the season, I thought they covered injuries really well. I thought their game style was really stacking up. They just need to find their grunt again. I still got them well up in the premiership contention because of their talent level. And again, their A game is very, very good. They don't have a B game. You know, I guess that's the thing. It's the talent that gets them across the line at times when they're A game struggling, and they do have a lot of talent.
Yeah. Hey, mate, Adelaide champion Scotty Thompson announced his retirement from footy at the end of the season today. Ruse, he's been a true champion of our footy club. Two questions. How did you rate him as an opposition coach, and does he deserve a farewell game by the end of the year?
Yeah, look, super player. Just so hard and tough around the contest. So hard to stop. So strong. Draw two tacklers, give the ball out, unbelievable, moving through stoppages, just an absolute warrior, great player. Look, it's hard to comment. As a rule, I'd love to see him play again. As a general rule, I think guys that have given that commitment to their footy club and made such a big difference, yes, I think they do deserve a game. I'm not familiar, obviously, how he's playing at the Sandford level, so I'd love to see him play again. And as a general rule, someone like that.
You give him one, would you?
Ruse, let's do some policy on the run. I'm going to talk you through the draw now.
This is the Crows draw.
This is what the Crows have got coming up. They've got Collingwood this week at the MCG. The following week, we've got a showdown here. Essendon at Etihad, which would be doing him no favours with the skates that are involved in that.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Then you get to round 22. It's the Swannies on a Friday night here where the potential maybe is he could mix it a little bit with the midfield that's not super slick with leg speed.
Yeah, exactly.
And then round 23, obviously.
West Coast Eagles.
You got West Coast in West Coast where you don't want to be putting the old fella through that because you never know what you're playing for at the end
that's
either.
Right. Well, I think the Sydney game's the obvious one, isn't it? I mean, if you're talking, the fact that he's you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe a setting for that game. But I want to say, even though I'm in favour, it's got to be predicated on some form. I mean, you can't just give a guy a game.
All right, last one before we get your coaching tip. Can we rule you out of the Collingwood coaching job now Purdy's left, your best mate?
Purdy's gone, yeah.
What about your mate Purdy? Did you see that coming?
No,
and he's very emotional, wasn't he, our boy Gazzy?
I think that shows you the commitment to... And I think he made a really good point. The footy club's a little bit different than normal corporations. It is a family. You guys have been involved. It's a collective. It's a family because we don't have a product. It's people. Football clubs are people. And you're not selling a shoe or a widget or a car or whatever. You're a group of people that's working together to try and win a premiership. So you can see how tough it is when you're leaving a footy club and even when you're the CEO.
Righto, mate. Let's finish it off in style with a coaching tip.
Roosie's coaching tip.
Yeah, guys, what I want to do is I think back into the season, I reckon, not only Nathan Buckley, but I think I want to use him as an example. Everyone could be under pressure now. You've got the team that's nearly in the finals. You've got the team that might be dropping out. You've got the coaches
like
on the bottom.
Sounds like you're talking to Jars at Gazer at the moment. He's teetering at the moment.
Where are you, Jars? Where are you?
Equal fourth. Four games to go.
So there you go. It really doesn't matter what level. I reckon there's stress coaches out there at the moment. Everyone's wondering, are we going to finish top? Are we going to get relevated? Are we going to make the... Relax, guys. It's a game of footy. Okay, I know it's hard, and I know that we all get caught up in it. And I reckon take a leaf out of Nathan Buckley's book. The way Nathan's handled himself throughout this whole season has been unbelievable. So a little deep breath, boys.
Jazzy.
A little deep breath when you're driving to training. Yeah. Breathe. It's just a game of footy. Oh, all right?
That's my beautiful, mate.
It is, Roosie, but there's a statue on the line out there. It goes. He's got to get him up.
Good on you, mate. Good stuff.
Good on you, guys.
Have a great week. Thanks, Roosie. The super coach, Paul Roos, on the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis on 104.7 Triple. And give me a Jars. There we go. Beautiful. I'm surprised you're on air because that is one of the greatest no-nos in this high-tech world we live in. We're not supposed to have open canisters, drinks of any description on
air. That was Friday, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was. Lucky to be. I love. Jazz's Man School is back by popular demand. I had an incident today that I have to share with you and the family.
I need to name and shame these
individuals. We have fallen asleep at the wheel, Jar.
We
were going so well.
Nah.
Some of the worst anti-man behaviour you'll ever see here from me very, very shortly with that one.
Righto, champ.
Do you remember a chat with Warwick Capper just the other day when Wiz has got a new thing doing on Twitter where for $30 he'll do a personalised message for you?
Yeah, what's he got?
Well, we ponied up the cash and here is a message from the great Warwick Capper to us.
G'day, Jars and Louis for 104.7 Triple M, the best radio station in Australia. Just let me double check that. Yeah, 104.7 Triple M for all the best footy news in the world. And the best stories come to you from Warwick Capper in the dungeon of Bourne in Melbourne in a 6.5-meter house. And Louis, he's got to get a spray tan and get his shorts a little bit tighter because he was the most unsexual footballer in Australia. And Jarman used to be his biggest Warwick Capper in the world in Adelaide. And now he's been taken over by Rashudo. I feel sorry for him. Now he's my apprentice and his apprentice. He just needs a beard. But he's got a lovely bald head. This is Warwick Capper coming to you for Triple M. Remember, boys, I love you like brothers. But we are from Tasmania. Oi, nice teeth.
We paid $30 for that.
I think he might have done that one for nothing, but they're up to $60 these days.
He's a beauty.
We'll get the details tomorrow. Check it out on the website. I'll try and find the actual link because if you want a personalised message from Wiz, they are legit. You can pay for them he'll say whatever you need to be said, whether it be for a gift, a wedding anniversary, whatever you want. Murph, we're getting one for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a video message and we've got the video message up on the Twitter feed, haven't we, and the Facebook page as well.
Oh, goodness. What is he wearing? What is he wearing?
What's he got on? He's got big tars and jocks on.
I reckon he's got the leopard pants on.
He has
the leopard top.
He bets his shirt's off.
Unsexual. I thought I played a sexual game.
No, I thought you were. Yeah. Yeah. And me?
Yeah, well.
I'm still bigger than Roo.
Yeah.
It's the Rush Hour. Jars and Louis on 104.7 Triple M.
Righto, Juice. Been threatening this all show. I think it's time we went back to this.
Oh, what a big man you are.
Andrew Jarman's Man School.
For so long, so vigilant we were,
it is.
And we thought we had the younger generation of men fast-tracking to be a real man.
Yeah.
A classic man.
A real culture change.
A seismic shift,
yeah.
Absolutely. But I witnessed some behaviours today.
Oh, no.
that I feel we have fallen asleep at the wheel.
Well, what's happened?
You and I.
Share
and
it with
us. I'm heading home. Mm. I've just been out doing a couple of little bits and pieces. I'm on my way home after school drop.
Mm.
And there is a truck, a joiner's truck, like a joinery, guys.
Okay.
A little roundabout on a, you know, Glenbeam right up where I live. It's pretty hilly.
Right.
And the truck is stuck. There's a car in front of me, and then there's me, then there's another car. So three cars are backed up behind a truck that's stuck in this roundabout.
Okay.
And it's not going anywhere.
No.
And it's trying to go, and then it's stopping, and then the brakes are on. It's and it's rolling back a bit. So we're reversing back. I put the hazards on to let everybody know behind us.
Well done.
Back it up,
everybody.
So everybody pulls out. Then the car in front, we all get back. It does a U-turn. Me, because I'm going around into that side street, I pull into the side street. And then I had that, you know, that sixth spidey sense that I get about anti-man behaviour.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I pull the car over, leave the car running, I just get out. I get up, I walk over to the side of the car, and I knock on the window. What's going on, lads?
Yeah.
And they look at me really flustered and panicky. And I said, can't you get in gear? And they go, can't do a hill start. I've gone.
No.
Shook my head. How old? They would have been early 20s, tops.
Did they say hello, Louie?
They were that embarrassed. I've gone.
Stop it.
And I've gone.
John, no.
You can't do a hill start. They said, nah, you can't do a hill start. I said,
an idiot.
I'm still gobsmacked now that I'm recounting it. Then they go to me, can you?
You're a country boy and you've driven some big machinery in your day.
Felt like cueing the music, you know. Here's my moment. I said, righto. So roundabout, cars are backed up behind us now, the roundabout. Yeah. So I wander around to the driver's side. I said, get on over. So I made him slide on over into the middle seat. I jumped in. I said, right, I'll watch and learn.
Yeah, right. Here
so
we
the
go.
Car's on, the big truck's on, and I'm going, right, so here's what you do. So I've got my hand on the handbrake, got the clutch in. Yeah. I said, stick shift on the top. I said, right, basic setup. Yeah. They go, yeah. Put her in first. I said, right, here's what you do. You ease your clutch out, and you rev the guts out of it. All right. And don't panic when you go backwards a bit. And sure enough, we go back a bit. See that? It's catching, isn't it? And I drive it off around the corner. I pull it into the side street. I said, there, my work is done. I do not need any payment or anything else. I said, you guys will be getting a mention on the radio this afternoon.
Can you give me their details? No, I'm going to ring their parents.
I was going to ring their boss. I was so tempted. I
said, you, Wally.
Some of the worst anti-man behavior.
But there you are.
A hill start. Yeah.
And did you swagger back to the car with all the other cars and the mums and the dads?
You should have said it, because Ange then is coming out to take Len's to daycare. No. My car's there all by itself. She's thinking something's happened. I'm coming out across the roundabout with a real swag. She goes, what's up? I said,
Chuck Norris.
I said, hill start, baby. Hill start. Righto, Juicy, that's it for a Tuesday, what a day it was. If you missed it, the highlight of the afternoon was Daniel from Murray Bridge, who won the quiz with no name, which has a name, which is the Auto Masters quiz.
Yeah.
He won himself $1,000. Here's his response. $1,000 coming your way, Daniel. Well played, young man.
Beautiful.
All good. Thanks, lads.
All right.
Listen to the crowd going off. Yeah, buddy,
take the horn. Get the horn.
Get the horn. You got a horn on the boat?
Yeah, I'll give you one. Ready?
Yep.
Go.
Blow it again. Next level stuff. Next level. And if you're wondering why we're talking about toot the horn on the boat, he was actually on a boat.
Yeah.
He was on a boat doing the quiz on the river.
Brilliant.
Legit. So, which leads me, I mean, we have to play this, don't we?
I'm on a boat.
Here we go.
I'm on a boat. Yeah. Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat.
Go, Daniel.
I'm on a boat.
He's on a boat.
I'm on a boat. Take a good hard look at the mother.
Yeah. that was great.
Daniel from Murray Bridge is $1,000. Richard, a chance to win $1,000 again tomorrow.
Nice.
Who's on the show tomorrow before we get out of here?
Well, Crow's favourite, and he's back in form, Rory Sloan. Live and exclusive to Triple M. That's right, Lou. He'll be in here with us.
Yep.
All right. All right. No concussion test today, tomorrow night.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, do you need one?
No, I'm good at the moment. Damien Barrett,
okay. The best newspaper in the business. Tell you what, we might get a bit more insight on what went down with the footy show.
Ed.
Yeah, Big Eduardo's back.
Righto.
All right.
Well done.
Have a great night, family.
Night.
Thanks to everybody. Scotty Thompson, of course, if you missed it. Well done, Tomo. What a servant.
Champ.
A couple more games to go, fingers crossed there. And Roosie and everybody else.
Nice.
And the new segment. You f***ing idiot. Outstanding. Good night.
I'm going to have to beat that, aren't I?
Yeah.